Genesis chapter 2. Sometimes it's good for you to worship. I realize, please hear me, church, that the church has been turned to give me place. But the Bible says the first day of the week we should gather together to worship Him. Do we really gather to worship in our generation? Do we really gather to worship? In most cases, we gather for healing, for peace in home, for harmony in home, for prosperity. We always have something that we are coming for, and that occupies our minds throughout what we call the worship. When do we worship Him? Can we have a whole tour, just 2 hours in a week, of worshiping Him, giving Him something in return for all He does constantly? And yet, God is seeking those that we do that. So we have not wasted any time this morning. I assure you in the name of Jesus, you have not. Genesis chapter 2.
And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it. For in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die.
God made everything beautiful, everything beautiful, everything. Give man everything. Why will He put the tree? Why will He plant the tree of good and evil and place them in the center, check your Bible, of the garden? You can freely enjoy everything. But see, the fruit of this one tree, do not eat. Why? That was at creation. Keep that aside. Can someone quickly open with me Deuteronomy chapter 30? Read between verses 15 and 19. Deuteronomy 30.
Yes, 15. See, I have set before you today life and good. Death and evil, in that I command you today to love the Lord your God, to walk in His ways, to keep His commandments, His statutes, and His judgments. Then you may live and multiply. The Lord your God will bless you in the land which you go to possess. But if your heart turns away so that you do not hear, and are drawn away and worship other gods that serve them, I announce you today that you shall surely perish. You shall not prolong your days in the land which you cross over the Jordan to go in and possess. I call heaven and earth as witness today against you that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life, that both you and your descendants may live.
Hallelujah. I hope you get it. You now see where we are going. Can I show you something else? God help me. What are you getting? God gives the best to you, but they are always in your choices. God will always give you the best. Maybe another scripture, John 3:16. For God so what? Loved. So what else do you want? Loves the Christians? No. Loves the world. Everybody. That what? He gave His only begotten Son. But look at this now. That whosoever believes, you have a choice. So I concluded that the best of God is always presented in a choice. And He settled a long-standing question in my heart, that we are made in His image. How? That we are made in His likeness. How? Then I got it when the Bible says, who has known the mind of God to instruct him? And immediately the sovereignty of his being hits me. He does what he wants to do when he wants to do it, how he wants to do it. Nobody questions him. He chooses his own will and his way. So how has he created you? He has created you to be able to make your own choices too. Otherwise, he would have made us robots. The good things have been made for you. Just you can't think otherwise. No. You can choose. And the amazing thing is that when you choose, God will not force your choice. He won't force the other way. No. And the interesting thing is this, usually when we make a choice, we forget that we are choosing the consequences too. And if you observe, say in the day that you eat, you will die. See, I lay before you life and death. Choose that you may live. If you don't, there are consequences to every choice. And yet we have a good God that has given us everything good. I'm not just preaching choices. I'm saying life is a series of choices you make. Prioritize. Let me put it the way somebody put it. Say life is a series of frequent choices, prioritizing duties and pleasures within the very scarce resources we have. You want me to say it again? Series of choices we constantly make, prioritizing duties and pleasures within the very limited scarce resources we have. You say, what is scarce? There are certain things that are scarce in your life that you wish you had more. And there are many. But if I ask you to think properly, which one is one? You pick it up straight away. Yeah. She's saying, Pastor, don't ask me. Because she knows it. If I call you now, if I can just get this one, but have you observed? That what was that burning last year, if I present it to you today, no, it's no more your priority. Do you know that? If I don't have this, I will die. And somehow you didn't get it, and you wept. And today I said, get all these things you want. They said, no. There's something better. So that means that our choices are defined by our priorities. And that, we can't stop there yet. So, what do you mean priorities? What I consider the most important right now. So, what then determines what is most important right now? Needs, desires. Somebody said desires dictate priorities. Priorities inform choices. Choices determine your actions and of course, they make your life. The truth is, if I say, Pastor, I can't escape what you are saying, I'm not going to choose anything anymore, you'll be dead. Because that statement you are making is a choice. So God says, choose life, choose me, I have the best for you. I give myself to you. So I can decide, God, I'm not. No. You know the problem of the Pharisees? They were very, very knowledgeable. I mean, very, very knowledgeable. I was looking at the word efficiency and effectiveness. They were very, very efficient when it came to the law. but they were never effective. Whether as far as the kingdom is concerned or as far as their generation was concerned. So you know what that means? They always got their priorities wrong. So in my thoughts, I said, God help me. So many people do wrong things all the time. They are failures. And yet there are many people that do the right things always at the wrong time. They are failures. What does the Bible say? There is a time. So for everything under heaven, there is what? There is a, and for every purpose. So you don't do the last one, the first, in the first place. And that's how God has made life. Please listen to me. My message is almost concluded. I feel the heavy weight of his glory. I feel the tugging of his spirit in my inner man. I realize that most of us run our lives to please men or to please our fleshly desires. Hear what the Bible says here. In Isaiah 56 verse 4, for all you care, I'm paraphrasing everything I'm saying here. I have notes of my studies here. I have 4 pages. But I'm able to summarize it for you so that you can carry out your studies. Because it's all over the Bible. I feel the release. I feel somebody is being set free right now in the name of Jesus. You know how it reads? It said, for thus saith the Lord. Can somebody read it for me quickly? Isaiah 56, 4.
For thus saith the Lord unto the Enoch that keep the Sabbath, and choose the things that please me, and take hold of my covenant.
Go ahead.
Even unto them will I give in mine house and within my walls a place and a name better than of sons and of daughters. I will give them an everlasting name that shall not be cut off.
Now listen, you know who Enoch is? He cannot copulate with a woman. He cannot pregnate anybody. So forget the future for him. He says, even as impotent as a eunuch, if you keep my laws and choose what pleases me, say, I'll give you a place and a name better than those who have everything. I just want you to see how God feels about these things. And I want you to see that is the principle on which the whole of this world is created. The devil doesn't know. Of course he does. Because it was a choice that made him the devil. God didn't make him the devil. Check Isaiah 14 and Ezekiel 28. He chose to be the devil. Was this how Jesus lived his life? Of course. Huh? Come on, John 4. He was hungry. This displays priority and choice very well. Hungry, weary, tired. And the disciples went to look for food. Come on, remember? At the well of Samaria. And by the time they came, he was sitting down talking to a woman. And when they came, they said, why is he talking to a woman? And it wasn't so much particularly about food. And then they said, has somebody brought him food? Maybe that woman brought him food. You know what he said? He said, what you don't know is this. I have food to eat that you don't know about. Then he went on to say, my meat, my food. See, food is your priority now. Here, my priority is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish it. Priority. It wasn't like he didn't later eat. That was his life. Wasn't he the one that says that walk while it is day? Because the time cometh when no man can walk. Priority. What about Paul? He said, this one thing I do. Not like I've already attained, not like, but this one thing I do, forgetting the things. Priority. This was a man that was an intellectual in his time, a crack professional, a statesman, a politician, a leader of the church, a Pharisee. Said, all rubbish for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ. This one thing, priority.